Our New Testament lesson today is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other sit at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm to be baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Then you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or at my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know all those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the movie, A Simple Favor centers around a mother who befriends another mother after their sons have become friends. Stephanie, who is played by Anna Kendrick, is befriended by Emily, played by Blake Lively. They quickly become best of friends, and one day, Emily asks Stephanie to do a simple favor for her: to pick up her kid from school and to take him to her house, and she will come by later to pick him up. But she never comes to pick her child up. The favor turns out to be filled with twists and turns and mysteries, and it doesn't turn out to be a simple favor at all. I wrote one of the movie for you if you have not seen it. This morning in our scripture lesson, we have two brothers who approach Jesus with a little pushing from their mother and ask him for a simple favor. Maybe you're wondering, why would they pull Jesus aside and ask for something such as this? James and John were from means. They were from money. They were rich. And something like this probably did not seem out of the ordinary. Their mother, like any mother, wanted the best for her son, so she said, "Go ahead and ask." And so they asked. They asked Jesus for a simple favor. But we will discover this morning the simple favor that they are asking Jesus for is not as simple as they think or that you may think as well. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that you are God. God, we thank you that you have just made yourself comfortable here in this sanctuary today. We thank you, God, that you have filled your presence with every nook and cranny in this place. God, we thank you for the songs that have gone forth, Lord God, today, and the words, Lord God, of confession and worship, Jesus. God, we now pray that you will meet us here at this time in this word. God, we ask that you will tune our ears into here. God, that you will calm our hearts and our spirits, that we may hear from you today. Lord, I pray for your anointing on me, that you will give me the words that I need to say today. In Jesus' name we pray, Almighty God. Amen. First of all, thank you so much for being here. It is so good to be here this morning, and I am grateful to be among you. And again, thank you so much for inviting me to join you all today. What was the last simple favor you asked for? Do you remember what it involved? Do you remember what that favor was specifically? What was the last simple favor that you may have asked God for a favor for? Did your favor have more to do with keeping you comfortable? Did it have more to do with you not having to go through a hard time? Did it have more to do with you maybe somehow not having to deal with maybe difficult decisions or sacrifices or suffering? Or was your simple favor more about giving you courage? Courage and strength to help you stand against the racing tide of injustice and hate that is sweeping our country today from Capitol Hill to the ballot box and sometimes even to the church pews. Did you know that if you go online and type in asking for a favor, what comes up? You would be amazed. It has a site where you can how to ask for a favor in English. It has even a site for how to ask for a favor in email. How to be clever in asking for a favor. Even the Entrepreneur magazine chimes in, as well as Harvard Business School magazine chimes in about how to ask for a favor. But the best one was a 12-step slide presentation on how to ask for a favor with pictures, I mind you. What I noticed about all these favor sites is it was to help someone to get ahead. It was to help someone to achieve something that they needed for themselves, that they needed to advance in. But none of them seemed to be about favors of helping them to have courage, helping to have strength, helping them to do something that would enhance or enrich someone else's life. Don't get me wrong. Favors are not a bad thing. Favors can actually be good, can be good. Because favors can help someone else out in a time of need. Favors can possibly help you out in a time of need. But James and John's favor to Jesus had nothing to do with helping someone else in a time of need or helping them out in a time of need. Their favor was totally selfish, and it was totally about them. But Jesus doesn't blink. He doesn't get mad. Jesus entertains their favor. And he says to them, "What do you want me to do?" he asked. And without any hesitation, these two brothers asked Jesus what their simple favor was. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and let the other sit at your left in glory." Remember the list I shared with you about things on website for simple favors? Well, there was this quote that said this: "Never beat around the bush about asking someone for a favor. Be direct and just come out and say what you want." James and John must have read that quote before they went to Jesus because they were direct. They came right out and they read that simple favor. They did not blink. They did not hesitate. They just said, "Look, we want one of us to sit on your right. We want the other to sit in your left, in your glory." That's it. Simple. How easy can that be? It's done, Jesus, right? I don't know about you, but I cannot even begin to imagine myself asking that favor from God. I think about all my life and my sins and shortcomings and all that I've done. I think, oh, why would I even begin to think that I could even begin to approach Jesus that way? But not James and John. Not them at all. On one level, I envy these guys of their ease to be able to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I have this simple favor for you." On one level, I think, wow, how great that they had that confidence to do that and say that. And I think, I wish we who call ourselves Christians, who sit in the pews on every Sunday morning and worship and sing and pray and read calls to confession, an assurance of pardons and calls to worship, I wish we had that courage to ask God, "Lord, give me the strength to stand up for things in life where people are suffering. Give me the courage to stand up to injustice. Give me the courage to want to fight for peace." I wish we had that kind of courage to ask Jesus for that kind of favor. "Jesus, take away my fear. Jesus replaced that with courage to want to stand up and say, injustice no more. Give me the courage, Jesus, not just to sit here on the sideline, but to join in the battle, to get off the porch and run with the big dogs in pursuing things that will enhance the lives of other people. I wish we had that kind of courage. Jesus does not miss a beat in this dialogue either. He immediately asks James and John, what can you do what I am willing to do? Can you drink the cup I drink? Can you be baptized in the baptism that I am to be baptized with? Jesus is asking them, are you willing to go down this road with me? Are you willing to do the things that I'm going to do? Are you willing to suffer like I'm going to suffer? Are you willing to be beaten and flogged and nailed to the cross? Are you willing to go that route? James and John respond, we can. We are. And Jesus knows, being Jesus, he knows that they will. He knows what their future will be. But he also knows right there in that moment, they've asked for the simple favor, and just not too far away, James and John are not going to be able to stay awake with Jesus at his most darkest hour and stay awake and pray. So Jesus responds to James and John's and let them know that this kind of request, it is not for him to grant. Kaufman Commentaries translates this and says this passage, and I like this. It says, but to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to give except for whom it is prepared. The addition of it is for them by the translation is incorrect. The clear meaning is that Jesus could not give such honors except to them for whom they were prepared. This writer goes on to say that once he asked a wealthy man who was more than 200 times a millionaire for a certain gift, and he replied that it is not mine to give, meaning that he did not have the power to give it. He did not have the power to make the gift, but that my particular request that he asked him was not in line with his purpose. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying to them. He's not saying, I don't have the power to grant your gift. Of course he does. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course he has that power. But he is saying, what you want, it is not in my line. It is not in my purpose. It is not even on my to-do list today, tomorrow, or probably the next day either. It is not that Jesus didn't have the power to do that. Of course he did. But he let them know that it's not about this. It is not about James, you sit on my right, and John, you sit on my left. It is not about that. Somehow, in all that he's done, all that he's gone through them, all that they've seen him done, they have somehow missed the boat. They have somehow misunderstood everything that Jesus was trying to tell them to do. Jesus' purpose was not about making decisions on who was going to sit at his right or left or bask in glory. Jesus was trying to communicate something else different, but they misunderstood. Reminds of a story that I read this week in preparing this sermon. It says, Rothka asked Shalom, she said, I'm short of some ingredients for the cake I'm baking. Could you please get some things from the store for me? Of course I can, darling. Shalom, what do you need? He replied. Please get one carton of milk, and if they have eggs, get six, replies Rivka. 15 minutes later, Shaloma returns with six cartons of milk. Rivka is furious with him. You schmooze, she says. Why on earth did you buy six cartons of milk? Because they had eggs, he replies. We too misunderstand what Jesus is telling us to do. We misunderstand the direction that he is calling for us to do. Jesus is saying to them, James and John, it is not about basking in my glory. It is not about privilege. It is about willing to suffer and to sacrifice in the way I did. It is about willing to stand up for justice. It is about willing to call it like it is. It is about willing to stand with those who are marginalized and those who are oppressed. It is about willing to suffer and to take that chance. My brother-in-law works as a forklift operator at his job. He's been at his job for 20 years. And where he works at his job is they have homeless people that are in the area, and they are told not to feed the homeless people. They're told not to engage with them. My brother-in-law one day saw this homeless man, and his heart just went out to him. He just felt bad for him, and he went inside at lunchtime, and he got his lunch, and he gave it to this man. He fed him. Well, they saw it, and they fired him. After 20 years, they fired him for breaking the rules for feeding a homeless man. Was he wrong? Absolutely not. Did he do the right thing? Absolutely he did. But he was fired because he was willing to do just as Jesus is asking us to do, just as Christ wanted the disciples to see, but they couldn't see. He met the needs of someone who was suffering. He met the needs of someone who needed justice. He needed to be fed. And Jesus met that need. I wonder, are you willing to do that? How much are you willing to do what? How much are you willing to do what Jesus? That's why you memorize your sermon. How much of you are willing to do what Jesus asked you to do? How much you are willing to take that chance and to step out? So where do we begin with this? How do we go about bringing this type of change in our lives, in our church's lives, in our family's life, in our community lives? In the final part of our text, we see James and John's little sidebar has caused quite a ruckus. Our scripture says that when the ten heard about this, they became indignant. The word indignant means anger, annoyance, and unfair treatment. The Greek text uses the word incense and versus indignant. And I like this word better because incense means meaning very angry and enraged. This tells really how the disciples really felt. They were incensed. They were enraged. It would kind of be like if you were a child or a teenager and one of your siblings went to your parents and they asked your parents for a favor. Maybe it was for more money, maybe even a car, or maybe an extra allowance, and your parents agreed, and you found out later they knew that you wanted that too, and they didn't tell you. They didn't even invite you. They didn't even say, give my sister or brother allowance. You would be enraged. Well, these gentlemen were enraged. They were enraged because of the fact that they too wanted to sit at the right and the left. They were enraged just as James and John were. They were enraged about the wrong thing, though. They too miss the boat. They too misunderstand just what Jesus Christ was talking about. They were enraged about the wrong thing that Jesus was requiring of them. How could they have missed his point? How can we miss the point that Christ is talking about? How can we somehow miss that Christ is talking about changing hearts and lives? How can we miss that Christ is talking about changing the status quo in society? How can we miss that Christ is talking about justice and peace for all? How can we miss that? Who was Jesus always standing up for in his ministry? He was standing up and being the voice for those who were oppressed, those who were poor, those who were mistreated, and those who were marginalized. These are the people that Christ went to battle for each and every day. What are you willing to lose, my friends, today? Eric Michael Dyson, in his New York Times bestseller book, Tears We Cannot Stop, has a chapter on what he calls inventing whiteness, and he says the following. Beloved, let me start by telling you an ugly secret. There is no such thing as white people. And yet so many of you exist. Please hear me out. I know your flesh and blood. I know that you use language and forks and knives. I'm not talking about your bodies in your garages or in your grocery stores. I'm talking about the politics of whiteness. I'm talking about an identity that exists apart from the skin you were born in. I'm talking about a mean of race that supersedes the features you inherit when you come out of the womb. You do not get whiteness from your genes. It is a social inheritance that is passed on to you as a member of a particular group. Are you willing to lose your whiteness card today? Are you willing to lose your male card, your heterosexual card that our sin-sick world defines as dominant and powerful, and trade that card in for a BS card, bi status card? A card which will say goodbye to arrogance and ignorance in unchristlike ways. A card that will call you and be a voice for injustice in those places and privilege that you enter into because of who you are and how you look. My friends, don't turn away now. Don't go to sleep. Don't shut me off. You see, because even the church appears to misunderstand what Jesus is trying to say. They're getting confused and clouded by party and privilege and power. They're willing to trade in the call of Christ for the justice and the poor and the oppressed, and instead trade that in for something that was not on Christ's to-do list. They're willing to sacrifice the lives and souls of others. We are seeing our country fighting against change, wanting America great for only those who were chosen and fit the description, and not for those whose religion may be Islam, whose identity may be Black, Hispanic, Asian, or Native American, who was once John or Jane, and now they live their lives as who they were meant to be, as Joyce or James. James Baldwin, the famous African-American author, says, "People are trapped in history, and history is trapped in them." In other words, people don't want to change. Even our churches really don't want to change. We want to keep things the way they have always been. We want to stay in our seats. We want to see the same people we see Sunday after Sunday. We get comfortable and we don't really want to change. We like that our pastor looks like us. We like that we can identify with his or her culture. We like that he or she is heterosexual. We don't even have to worry about, we like the fact that we don't have to worry if we can understand what they say or not. We don't have to worry about any other of those other things that possibly could make us uncomfortable. Can I really have a pastor that doesn't look like me? Stay with me. These are the things that are not on Jesus' to-do list. They won't be tomorrow, the next day. They never will be. He does not care about any shallow or status stuff. What he does care about is how much are you willing to do for his kingdom? Are you willing to suffer and to sacrifice so that others may have justice? Are you willing to speak up at your workplace, in your family gatherings, or in your church, or your country clubs, or wherever you may be? Are you willing to stop and when you hear those racist jokes or a sexist joke or a homophobic joke, are you willing to stop then and there right now and say, I don't appreciate that? What you are doing, what you are saying, I am offended by that. This is what Christ is calling us to do. This is what we need to do. I had a friend once, he said that he and his son were at an event, and there was a gentleman there who told this off-color racist joke. He said when he got home, he put his young son aside and he said to him, what that gentleman did was really wrong, and I just want you to know that. I don't ever want you to do something like that, nor ever repeat something like that. What I wish my white friend would have done, I wish he would have stopped that gentleman right there and there and said to him, excuse me, sir, I don't appreciate what you have just done. I am offended by your words, and I would like for you to never do that again. But that would have been a cost. That might have caused a scene. That might have disrupted his life possibility. That might have disrupted other people's lives who were there, but this is what Christ is talking about. He is talking about disrupting. Christ is talking about disrupting and coming to serve. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the author of The Cost of Discipleship, says, we are not simply to bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. Hear that again. We are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. Jesus reminds his disciples that a simple favor is not so simple. And it will cost you. It will be a sacrifice. Maybe what I have preached today, you were saying, I don't need to hear those things. That's not about me. I know all those things already. But maybe it's about someone you know. Maybe a neighbor, a family friend. Maybe it's someone you work with. Maybe someone in your family. Maybe someone even who sits right next to you in your pew that needs to hear this story. But I want to encourage you to speak up now, not to wait. To speak to people in your community, your workplaces, your presbytery, your family, maybe even here. People need to hear this. And they will probably receive it better coming from someone who looks like you than someone who looks like me. Jesus closes in our story. He reminds the disciples that your job, you have come to serve. Your job is not about prestige and power. He talked about how the rulers lord over them. He talked about rulers, when they go to the words of lord over them, it means that these people are brutal. They're bullies. They push. Do you want to be that kind of Lord? Do you want to be that type of person? Absolutely not. You want to be different. You have come here to serve. If you want to be first, then you must be last. If you want to serve, then you, if you want to be served, then you must serve. And my friends, you must serve today. You must be last today. You must be willing to step out of your comfort zone of who you are, and as I said, in that sense of whiteness, of prestige and power and privilege, and speak out in those places that you have access to stand up to injustice, to oppression. Remember the story of James and John, where they did drink from the cup and were baptized in Jesus' baptism, just as Christ said. James was the first disciple to be martyred. James' head was cut off with a sword. John was put in a cauldron of boiling hot water, and he was forced to drink poison from a cup. You see, maybe they did not do it there at that time, but they did come through. They did realize what Jesus was talking about. And it's my hope that you will realize that today. But that you will not wait a long time. But you will hear this today and say, I need to make a difference. I bet each and every one of you know someone. Or have heard something. Or know a thing in which you need to stand up for that you are probably hesitant about. And this is the time. This is the time to come through and say, we can to Christ. I can do this. God, give me courage. I'm going to close with this story this morning. One summer morning, as Ray Blankenship was preparing his breakfast, he glazed out the window and saw a small girl being swept along in the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that further downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath the road and then emptied into the main culvert. Ray dashed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled in and over and in. Within about 3 feet of yearning covert, Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a rock protruding from the one bank. He clung desperately, but the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. If I can hang on until someone comes to help, he thought. He did better than that. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. On April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Lifesaving Medal. The award is fitting for the selfishest person who at even greater risk himself than most people knew. Ray Blankenship could not swim. But he took that chance. He took a risk. You see, he was willing with courage to say, God, my simple favor would be for you to give me courage, for you to give me strength. What about you? Are you willing to be that servant that Christ is talking about? Are you willing to step out of the sense of being on God's right and being on Christ's left? And instead saying, God, I want to be that servant that stands up in the midst of oppression and sees the things that are going wrong in this world, to see the injustice that is tumbling. I want to stand up against God, even if that is a cost. Do you have that kind of courage today? If Jesus were to ask you, can you drink from my cup? Can you be baptized with my baptism? Could you say yes? Could you say you can? Could you say that you would honor all that God requires when God talks about let justice roll down like mighty waters? God is a God of justice. And God is calling us today to be servants. Not to be in the spotlight, not to privilege, not to status, but to be servants. God is calling us. The simple favor is, God, give me courage to do justice and justice for all. Amen.